Invite you to take your Bibles and turn now back to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verse 11 of Romans chapter 12, and we'll be looking at it together this morning as well as this evening. You can think of this as one long sermon split into two, or two sermons on the same subject, but our focus is verse 11 of Romans chapter 12, and the subject of Christian zeal. There is an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to use that. I'm going to go ahead and read all of Romans chapter 12 so you hear the context in which this call to zeal comes in verse 11. Please give your attention now once again to the Word of God. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's where we'll end our reading of God's word, and let's stop and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning, and we ask that you would give us understanding and faith as we hear it together. Lord, help us to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you. Don't let us be conformed to this world, but be conformed to Christ, transformed by the renewal of our minds, by your word and by your spirit. Lord, I ask that you would shepherd your flock. Lead us and feed us and nourish us by your word. Lord, help us to hear the voice of our shepherd and follow him. And we do ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you a zealous person? What are you zealous for? What fuels your zeal? Here in Romans 12, we are confronted with a call to zeal. And God gives this call to all Christians. Verse 11 of Romans chapter 12, calling us to zeal is not an optional personality trait for extroverts, for type A's. It's not just for an elite club of radical Christians who really love the Lord. Zeal is not just for the young or the energetic. Zeal is to be an ordinary, steady attitude and way of life for all of God's people, old and young, energetic and calm, outspoken and quiet, new Christians and mature. All of us are called to live with zeal. And so I want to spend today on zeal, this idea, this topic of zeal. What is it? What is it not? Why is it important? Why is it often missing? And how do we get it? How do we grow in it? Now, perhaps zeal is not the most common idea or the most common word to you. My guess is that most of you have not used this word zeal in the past week, or perhaps not even thought about it. We may more often use words like passion, enthusiasm, intensity, earnestness, diligence. But this is what God calls you to. We need to see as we consider this today that it's really a call to be like him and to be like his son, to pursue him and his glory with an intensity and a focus and a drive. And we need to hear this because God would have us hear it. He's put it in his word for us. But we also need to hear this because there's a lot of misplaced zeal in the world today. And also a lack of zeal, often in the church. Zeal really has a tendency to wane and to cool. And so I want us to open ourselves up to hear from the Lord on this together this morning and be willing to be challenged and corrected, to change and to grow, to be encouraged, really to know God and the gospel better, why he drives zeal, how he forms this in us. And so the call today and tonight is the words of the text itself. Brothers and sisters, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. That's what we need to hear together from God today. Well, Romans 12, verse 11 starts off with a negative, a warning. A call away from slothfulness, from a lack of zeal. And I want us to consider that first. God, through the Apostle Paul, tells the church, tells the Christians at Rome, and tells each of us, warns us, do not be slothful in zeal. Let's consider that first this morning. This warning not to be slothful in zeal. Do not be slothful. Or lagging, lacking in zeal. And if zeal is earnestness and diligence and a fervor, being slothful in it is living without this zeal, with a lack of diligence and fervor. And Paul says here, don't let that happen. Don't become slothful in this area. Have a proper zeal. Maintain a zeal. The thrust of verse 11 is really positive. It's a call to zealous, fervent service to the Lord. But the opening line begins that positive call with a negative, with a warning. And this is a warning we need to hear. Now, I think we know intuitively what zeal is from other parts of life. We get excited. We get fired up about certain things. We have zeal for things. We're passionate and enthusiastic about them. We keep at them. We are zealous. Well, this is a specific, certain type of zeal that's being called for here. It's zeal for Jesus Christ. It's zeal for the Lord. It is not zeal for our hobbies or our interests. It's not zeal for Legos or backcountry powder. It's not zeal for a gripping mystery novel. It's not zeal for your favorite craft or for small batch coffee. This is zeal for God. Zeal for heaven. Zeal for the truth. But this type of zeal is not natural. It's easily lacking. We easily become slothful in this zeal. And God knows our tendency. He knows our tendency in the Christian life is to coast, to ease up, to lag, to cool in our zeal for Him, to become lazy, distracted, selfish. There's so much that can sap our zeal, so much that can make us reluctant and unwilling and disinterested. But according to Paul, according to the Word of God, there really should be no such thing as a Christian who is regularly slothful in zeal. And yet, because of sin, it's an all too common default and temptation for us that we need to be on guard against, that we need to fight against. Proverbs 18, verse 9 says, "Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys." And so there's something destructive and dangerous about being slothful in zeal, even though we might not realize that or think of it in that way. And yet, sadly, this is an all too common, acceptable posture today. But this should not be. Now, certainly there is plenty of misplaced, misinformed zeal. There's noise and activity. There's zeal that burns brightly and then burns out. That's not what God is calling us to. And that doesn't mean we give up on true biblical zeal. It doesn't mean there's not a great danger of being slothful in zeal. I think this may be a particular danger for Christians in our time and place. While we certainly face trials and pressures, generally speaking, we live relatively easy lives compared to many people in other parts of the world in other past times. And so we can more easily just tend to coast. I also think that even those with Reformed theology can particularly be susceptible to this. We can think we've arrived doctrinally. We know that God will save all of His people and cause them to persevere. And these truths, these very real and precious truths, can be misused as an excuse for coasting, for circling the wagons, for cooling in zeal, for becoming slothful in zeal. It can also be very cerebral, rightly emphasizing the mind, but sometimes to the neglect of zeal in the heart, and zeal in service with our hands. So for all these reasons, we need to especially take this call and this warning seriously. But in reality, this is a temptation for all Christians at all times. There is no first-class seat in the Christian life where you can just sit back. God says, don't do that. Do not be slothful in zeal. He also warns us in His word of zeal that is not true zeal. God is not calling you here to selfish, ungodly, misplaced zeal. And so we need to be warned of that as well this morning. So let's consider second, do not practice false zeal. You need to be on guard against false zeal as well. God is calling for true Christ-like zeal, not a false zeal. And we need to know there's such a thing. We need to be able to recognize counterfeit zeal. Paul warned about one type of false zeal in chapter 10 of Romans. You can turn there if you want to look. In the first verses of Romans 10, Paul writes, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear witness that they have a zeal. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." Paul is saying there in Romans 10, the Jews are zealous. They're zealous for the Old Testament. They're zealous for obedience to God, but their zeal is false. It's not true zeal because it's not according to knowledge. They really don't know God. They don't know his plan of salvation. They don't know his righteousness that comes through Christ alone. So all their religious zeal is useless because they can't know or serve or be righteous before God by their zeal, no matter how fervent and well-meaning it is. It's not based on truth. We could give countless examples of this. I knew a man who had great outward zeal for evangelism, and he was almost mad at most of the church for the lack of it, and some of that was perhaps right. But when I asked him what the gospel was, when I asked him, can you tell me how to be saved? He got very defensive. He didn't know. He got quiet. He had zeal, but with no knowledge. You could think of most 16-year-olds have great zeal to drive. But if their zeal for driving is not coupled with a knowledge of how to drive, with actual training, it's dangerous. And it's not useful. To be zealous servants of the Lord, we need to know him. We need to know his ways. Our zeal must be based on knowledge, on the truth. We need to be trained how to be zealous for God. God does not call us to a mindless fervor in activity and service, a busyness and noise. He calls us to be zealous students and disciples, zealous servants of him based on his truth. We need to have zeal for him because we know him. And we know his plan and his wisdom and his ways. We know of his zeal for us in the gospel. Paul himself admitted several times to once having a false zeal, a zeal not based on knowledge. In Galatians 1:14, he says he was extremely zealous for the traditions of his fathers. But this zeal was channeled into persecuting the church. In Philippians 3, he said his zeal was intense and unmatched. And yet it was entirely wrong. It was false. And you think of other examples of false zeal today. Think of Mormons zealously going door to door. Buddhists repeating endless, mindless prayers. Think about those who are so zealous in their defense of something like abortion. And we could go on and on. This is zeal, but it's false. It is not based on truth. It's tragic. It's a godless zeal that knows not God and is not for God. More subtly, there's false zeal that's just for show, that can creep into the church, that can creep into our hearts, that wears a Christian cloak, but it's really just for praise. It's to make us feel good. The Pharisees practiced this type of zeal. They were zealous on the outside for the Lord and for his ways. But it was all done for man's praise, for a sense of self-righteousness. And Jesus said they were whitewashed tombs. And we can be guilty of the same, creating the appearance of zeal for the praise of man, to be recognized as, as being zealous for God, but God sees our hearts. He sees right through false and fake zeal. Paul said to the Corinthians in chapter 13, if you're the most active, powerful, effective, sacrificial person, and if you have no love for the Lord, no true passion and zeal for Him, you have nothing. It is meaningless. It's a clanging gong. And so we need to be aware of false zeal. Don't be attracted to it. Don't be sucked into it yourself. Well, that leads us to consider then third, what can cause a slothfulness in zeal? We've been warned against slothfulness and zeal. We've considered false zeal and fake zeal that we're to be aware of and steer clear of. But how can we encourage slothfulness and zeal? What are the ways we can easily slip into this? Look at verse 11 again. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. How do we become slothful in zeal? How can we avoid this? As I've already said, zeal is not natural. It doesn't come automatically for us. It needs fuel. It needs spirit-driven effort. But because of sin and temptation, it can easily flicker and die down for many reasons. And I want to just highlight a few ways that can happen. And the first way I think this can so easily happen is when we distance ourselves from God. God is both the object and the source of our zeal. Consider that more tonight. He's both the object and the source of our zeal. He empowers and inflames zeal. And so when we take our eyes off of Him, when we distance ourselves from Him, zeal wanes. And this can happen in so many ways. It can happen when we stop listening to Him in His Word. We stop reading it and hearing it preached with focus and attention. It happens when He stops hearing from us, when we speak to Him less in prayer. It happens when we hold sin in our lives that we don't repent of. Unrepentant sin is a zeal crusher. It happens when you stop being in His presence in worship, or when you show up but you're tired and distracted and disengaged. Think about how in a friendship or in a marriage, if you distance yourself from that person, if you stop spending time with them, if you stop talking with them, getting to know them, that relationship will cool. And there'll be a distance to it. This is why God says, seek me and you will find me. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Distancing yourselves from the Lord or from His means of grace will cause your zeal to wane. It will encourage a slothfulness in your zeal. Another way you can cause your zeal to dampen is by distancing yourself from God's people. Hebrews 10 verse 24 says, don't do that. Don't neglect being together. Stir each other up. Encourage one another. We need this. Don't distance yourselves from each other, from God's people. To maintain and inflame zeal, you need fellowship. You need accountability. You need oversight and examples and help. You need to be loving and serving others, committed to each other. And when that's not a priority and not a practice in your life, your zeal will cool. You all probably know the picture of a coal plucked from the fire. When it's no longer surrounded by others, it quickly cools. But when it's among the other coals, it glows hot. Well, zeal is very similar. It's contagious. 2 Corinthians 9, Paul said that the Corinthians' zeal stirred others up. And zeal will do that. And so we need to surround ourselves with others, with those who are zealous and will spur us on in the Lord. It's been said before that you are what you read and you are who you spend time with. Those influences exponentially shape and change you. And there's a lot of truth to that. Well, what are you reading? Who are you spending time with? Are you reading? Are you hearing God's word? And are you spending time with him and with his people? That will shape you in a good way. That will inflame and encourage zeal. Another way to cool zeal for the Lord is by zeal for this world. Too much zeal for the things of this world. Zeal for the things of this world not in their proper place. It's not that you can't enjoy your work. It's not that you can't enjoy things like cooking or fishing, quilting, football, name your hobby or passion. These things are not necessarily bad, but these can easily consume your time and attention and your heart and redirect your zeal and cause your zeal for heaven and for the Lord to wane, to become slothful. And so make zeal for the Lord primary. Make sure that the other callings and joys in your life serve your greatest zeal and not distract and detract from it. Finally, there can be physical causes of slothfulness and zeal. If you're always stressed, if you're always overworked, if you're not getting enough sleep, if you're not getting good nutrition, if you're not taking care of your earthly tents, your bodies, that can have an effect on your souls. That can cause a slothfulness and zeal. It can zap your spiritual energy. And so to maintain zeal over the long haul and not burn out, you have to have a balanced, steady approach to all of life. You need to be good stewards as you are able of your bodies and of your energy and your time. If you're exhausted and constantly stressed, it's hard to be zealous about anything. Now, some of the stress and weariness of life can't be helped, and it reminds us of our weakness. It pushes us to long for heaven. We are called to be wise stewards of our time and our energy and our bodies. We're called to have zeal for a lifetime. Well, those are just a few ways you can throw water on the fire of zeal. Encourage slothfulness in zeal. And certainly there are many more ways. But we need to be aware of these and avoid them. We need to be willing to let others point them out in our lives at times. When our zeal cools, it is not good for us. It's not good for our growth in godliness. It's not good for the church. It's not good for those around us. And Romans 12 is all about service in the body of Christ, sacrificial, transformed living, serving Christ together. And when one part of the body is slothful in zeal, it affects the other members of the body. Slothfulness and zeal is also not a good witness. What does a lack of zeal say to the world about God, about the gospel, about the power of his word, about his church? And so, friends, guard against extinguishers of zeal. And that leads us to begin to consider then the true zeal that you are called to. God says to each of you here, do be fervent in spirit. Do not be slothful in zeal, but do be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Live with zeal. Being fervent in spirit is really the opposite of being slothful in zeal. It's being full of zeal. And this word fervent literally means to boil or to burn, to be hot, to glow. I used to be bothered by people that would say, well, that so-and-so is on fire for Jesus. But it's actually something of a biblical concept, this fervor, being hot, bubbling over. We are to be fervent in spirit, in our hearts, our souls, in the inner man. We'll talk tonight of how zeal and fervor is really a fruit of the Spirit of God. But it is a fruit that manifests itself in our spirit, in the core of our being. Having a warmth, a passion, an energy for the Lord. And this word fervent that Paul uses implies an ongoing, active state of heart and mind. Now picture a pot on the stove that's simmering. One writer said, this suggests having plenty of heat to produce adequate, productive energy, but not so much heat that it goes out of control. As Christians, you are called to have a warmth, an energy, a heat, a glow. And this is really not a personality trait. It will manifest itself differently in our unique personalities. It's an intense energy below the surface that is from the Lord and for the Lord. And this fervor is really a supernatural inner quality, an inner warmth and strength that comes from being in contact with the living God, from being in union with Him. It flows from living for Him and in Him and through Him. And so sometimes some of the most zealous, fervent people are the oldest, or are the calmest, or the quietest. Do be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Friends, do you find this fervor, this heat in you this morning? Or have you cooled? Are you hindering it in some way? Do you not really know and love and trust the Lord? You can't conjure this up on your own. You can't fake it on the outside. You can't have this fervor without new life in you through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Maybe this morning you find yourself lacking in this zeal, lacking in this fervor. Maybe this is the first time you've thought about this concept in a very long time. And you think, I'm cool. I don't see this in my life. I want you to ask yourself why. But I also want you to ask the Lord for mercy. Ask for His grace to inflame you with this zeal and this fervor. Warm yourself at the fire of His word and in worship of Him and with His people. Go to the cross of Christ and see the zeal of your Savior for you, bearing your sins, giving His life for you. Or maybe this morning you know that you don't have this zeal, but perhaps you want it. You know you don't have true saving faith. You don't have a living relationship with God. And the zeal of the things of this world has left you cold and empty. And you need to come to the Lord. You need to repent of your sin. Turn away from those things. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will be given a new heart, a new zeal for life, a real zeal, a zeal for Him that far surpasses any other zeal that you've ever known. Tonight we'll talk more about how to get this zeal and grow in it, how we practice this, how Jesus exemplified and empowers this zeal and what its purpose is. As we close this morning, I want you to hear Christ's words to the church in Revelation 3, 15 and following. He said, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, and so be zealous and repent. Brothers and sisters, hear the call of God to each of you this morning. No matter your past, no matter where you are this morning, do not be lukewarm. Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Be zealous. Repent where that may be needed. Come to Christ. And as you hear this call, I want you to remember the context of this. Remember, God has been zealous to save you, undeserving sinners. There's been 11 chapters unfolding the gospel of grace, the good news before Romans 12. that leads up to this call to serve the Lord with zeal. And so you can and you must, because of what we've learned in the earlier parts of Romans, because of the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. Live with zeal because God has shown his love for you and that while you were sinners, Christ died for you. You can have this zeal because you are now dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You can live with zeal because the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. If God is for us, who can be against us? Those whom he has predestined, he has also called. Those whom he has called, he's also justified. And those whom he has justified, he will also glorify. And nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so, brothers and sisters, this God who has loved you and saved you, this God who will glorify you, says, children, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve me. Serve the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this word to us this morning, and we ask that we would not just hear it and quickly go on our way, but it would sink in and that your Holy Spirit would use it in our hearts to bear fruit. Father, we ask that you would forgive us where we have been slothful in zeal, where we have had more zeal for the things of this world or for our own glory, for our own comfort, and we've become disinterested and distracted. Lord, please inflame this zeal in us. Yes, for our good, for the good of those around us, but ultimately for your glory. Because you have been zealous to save us and to glorify your name. And so work out that same zeal in us for your glory by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's respond to the word.